20 minutes later, Joel hurried back down the sidewalk, delivering messages around campus during his free period. Those sidewalks were now mostly empty of students, with everyone else in class. Joel's moment of depression had vanished the instant he'd looked through the stack. There had been only 3 messages to deliver today, and he'd done those quickly. That meant... He clutched a 4th message in his pocket, one that he himself had added without telling anyone. Now, with some time to spare because of his speed earlier, he jogged up to Warding Hall, one of the arithmetic lecture halls. Professor Fitch was teaching in there this period. Joel fingered the letter he carried in his pocket, penned, after some nervousness, to the arithmetic professor. This might be my only chance, Joel thought, shoving down any nervousness. Fitch was a relaxed, pleasant man. There was no reason to be worried. Joel scurried up the long flight of steps outside the vine-covered, gray brick building, then slipped in the oak door. That brought him into the lecture hall at the very top. It was shaped like a small amphitheater, with tiered seats. Schematics depicting arithmetic defenses hung on the whitewashed walls, and the plush seats were bolted in rows along the tiers, facing toward the lecture floor below. A few of the students glanced at Joel as he entered, but Professor Fitch did not. The professor rarely noticed when he got deliveries from the office, and would ramble on for the entire lecture before realizing that a member of his audience wasn't actually a member of the class. Joel didn't mind that one bit. He sat down on the steps eagerly. Today's lecture, it appeared, was on the Eastern Defense.
"Is why this defense is one of the very best to use against an aggressive assault from multiple sides," Fitch was saying down below.
He pointed with a long red baton toward the floor where he'd drawn a large circle. The hall was arranged so that the students could look down at his arithmetic drawings on the ground. With his pointer, Fitch gestured toward the lines of forbidden seed affixed to the bind points on the circle.
"Now, the Eastern Defense is most famous for the large number of smaller circles drawn at the bind points. Drawing 9 other circles like this can be time-consuming, but they will prove well worth the time in defensive capabilities. You can see that the inner lines form an irregular nonagon, and the number of arms you leave off will determine how much room you have to draw, but also how stable your figure is. Of course, if you want a more aggressive defense, you can also use the bind points for chalklings."
"What about lines of vigor?" Joel thought. "How do you defend against those?" Joel didn't ask. He dared not draw attention to himself. That might make Fitch ask for his message, and that would leave Joel with no reason to keep listening. So, Joel just listened. The office wouldn't expect him back for some time. He leaned forward, willing one of the other students to ask about the lines of vigor. They didn't. The young arithmetists lounged in their seats. Boys in white slacks, girls in white skirts, both in gray sweaters, colors to disguise the ever-present chalk dust. Professor Fitch himself wore a deep red coat. Thick with straight starched cuffs, the coat reached all the way down to Fitch's feet. The coat buttoned all the way to a tall collar, mostly obscuring the white suit Fitch wore beneath. It had a militaristic feel to it, with all of those stiff lines and straps at the shoulders almost like rank insignias. The red coat was the symbol of a full arithmetic professor.
"And that is why a Keblen defense is inferior to the Eastern in most situations."
Professor Fitch smiled, turning to regard the class. He was an older man, graying at the temples, with a spindly figure. The coat gave him an air of dignity. "Do you understand what you have?" Joel thought, looking over the unengaged students. This was a class of 15- and 16-year-old students, making them Joel's age. Despite their noble calling, they acted like, well, teenagers. Fitch was known to run a loose classroom, and many of the students took advantage, ignoring the lecture, whispering with friends, or lounging and staring at the ceiling. Several near Joel actually appeared to be sleeping. He didn't know their names. He didn't know the names of most of the arithmetic students. They generally rebuffed his attempts to chat with them. When nobody spoke, Fitch knelt and pressed his chalk against the drawing he'd done. He closed his eyes. Seconds later, the drawing puffed away, willed by its creator to vanish.
"Well then," he said, raising his chalk, "if there are no questions, perhaps we can discuss how to beat an Eastern defense. The more astute of you will have noticed that I made no mention of lines of vigor. That is because those are better talked about from an offensive viewpoint. If we were to—"
The door to the lecture hall banged open. Fitch rose, chalk held between two fingers, eyebrows raised as he turned. A tall figure strode into the room, causing some of the lounging students to perk up. The newcomer wore a gray coat after the style of an arithmetic professor of low rank. The man was young, with stark blonde hair and a firm step. His coat fit him well, buttoned up to the chin, loose through the legs. Joel didn't know him.
"Yes?" Professor Fitch asked.
The newcomer walked all the way to the floor of the lecture hall, passing Professor Fitch and pulling out a piece of red chalk. The newcomer turned, knelt, and placed his chalk against the ground. Some of the students began to whisper.
"What is this?" Fitch asked. "I say, did I pass my lecture time again? I heard no sound for the clock. I'm terribly sorry if I've intruded into your time."
The newcomer looked up. His face seemed smug to Joel.
"No, Professor," the man said. "This is a challenge."
Fitch looked stunned. Fitch licked his lips nervously, then wrung his hands.
"I'm not sure how to— what I need to do.
Ready yourself to draw, Professor," the newcomer said.
Fitch blinked. Then, hands obviously shaking, he got down on his knees to place his chalk against the ground.
"That's Professor Andrew Nalazar," whispered a girl seated a short distance from Joel. "He gained his coat just 3 years ago from Mainford Academy. They say he spent the last 2 years fighting in Nebraska."
"He's handsome," the girl's companion said, twirling a bit of chalk between her fingers.
Down below, the two men began to draw. Joel leaned forward, excited. He'd never seen a real duel between two full professors before. This might be as good as being at the melee. Both began drawing circles around themselves to block attacks from the opponent. Once either circle was breached, the duel would end. Perhaps because he'd been talking about it, Professor Fitch went to draw the Eastern defense, surrounding himself with 9 smaller circles, touching the larger one at the bind points. It wasn't a very good stance for a duel. Even Joel could see that. He felt a moment of disappointment. Maybe this wouldn't be that good a fight after all. Fitch's defense was beautifully drawn, but was too strong. The Eastern was best against multiple opponents who surrounded you. Nalazar drew a modified Ballantine defense, a quick defense with only basic reinforcement. While Professor Fitch was still placing his internal lines, Nalazar went straight into an aggressive attack, drawing chalklings. Chalklings. Drawn from lines of making, they were the core offense of many arithmetic fights. Nalazar drew quickly and efficiently, creating chalklings that looked like small dragons with wings and sinuous necks. As soon as he finished the first, it shook to life, then began to fly across the ground toward Fitch. It didn't rise into the air. Chalklings were two-dimensional, like all arithmetic lines. The battle played out on the floor, lines attacking other lines. Fitch's hands were still shaking, and he kept looking up and down as if nervous and unfocused. Joel cringed as the middle-aged professor drew one of his outer circles lopsided, a major mistake. The instructional diagram he'd drawn earlier had been far, far more precise. Lopsided curves were easy to breach. Fitch paused, looking at the poorly drawn curve, and seemed to doubt himself.
"Come on," Joel clenched his fists. "You're better than this, Professor."
As a second dragon began to move across the ground, Fitch recovered his wits and snapped his chalk back against the floor. The gathered students were silent, and those who had been dozing sat up. Fitch threw up a long wiggly line, a line of vigor. It was shaped like a waveform, and when it was finished, it shot across the board to hit one of the dragons. The blast threw up a puff of dust and destroyed half of the creature. The dragon began to wriggle about, moving in the wrong direction. The only sounds in the room were those of chalk against floor, accompanied by Fitch's quick, almost panicked breathing. Joel bit his lip as the duel became heated. Fitch had a better defense, but he'd rushed it, leaving sections that were weak. Nalazar's sparse defense allowed him to go aggressive, and Fitch had to struggle to keep up. Fitch continued throwing up lines of vigor, destroying the chalk creatures that flew across the board at him, but there were always more to replace them. Nalazar was good, among the best Joel had ever seen. Despite the tension, Nalazar remained fluid, drawing chalkling after chalkling, unfazed by those that Fitch destroyed. Joel couldn't help but be impressed. "He's been fighting the wild chalklings at Nebrask recently," Joel thought, remembering what the girl had said. "He's used to drawing under pressure." Nalazar calmly sent some spider chalklings to crawl along the perimeter of the floor, forcing Fitch to watch his flanks. Next, Nalazar began sending across lines of vigor. The snaky lines shot across the board in a vibrating wave form, vanishing once they hit something. Fitch finally managed to get out a chalkling of his own. A knight, beautifully detailed, which he bound to one of his smaller circles. "How does he draw them so well, yet so fast?" Joel wondered. Fitch's knight was a work of beauty, with detailed armor and a large greatsword. It easily defeated Nalazar's more plentiful, yet far more simply drawn dragons. With the knight set up, Fitch could try some more offensive shots. Nalazar was forced to draw a few defensive chalklings, blob creatures that threw themselves in front of lines of vigor. Armies of creatures, lines, and waveforms flew across the board. A tempest of white against red, chalklings puffing away, lines hitting the circles and blasting out chunks of the protective line. Both men scribbled furiously. Joel stood, then took an almost involuntary step down toward the front of the room, transfixed. Doing so, however, let him catch a glimpse of Professor Fitch's face. Fitch looked frantic, terrified. Joel froze. The professors kept drawing, but that worry in Fitch's expression pulled Joel away from the conflict. Such desperate motions, such concern. His face streaked with sweat. The weight of what was happening crashed down on Joel. This wasn't a duel for fun or practice. This was a challenge to Fitch's authority, a dispute over his right to hold his tenure. If he lost... One of Nalazar's red lines of vigor hit Fitch's circle straight on, almost breaching it. Immediately, all of Nalazar's chalklings moved that direction, a frenzied, chaotic mess of red motion toward the weakened line. For just a moment, Fitch froze, looking overwhelmed. He shook himself back into motion, but it was too late. He couldn't stop them all. One of the dragons got past his knight. It began to claw furiously at the weakened part of Fitch's circle, distorting it further. Fitch hurriedly began to draw another knight, but the dragon ripped through his border.
"No!"
Joel cried, taking another step down. Nalazar smiled, removing his chalk from the floor and standing. He dusted off his hands. Fitch was still drawing.
"Professor," Nalazar said. "Professor!"
Fitch stopped, and only then did he notice the dragon, which continued to work on the hole, trying to dig it out enough that it could get into the center of the circle. In a real battle, it would have moved in to attack the arithmetist himself. This, however, was just a duel, and a breach in the ring meant victory for Nalazar.
"Oh,"
Fitch said, lowering his hand.
"Oh, yes. Well, I see."
He turned, seeming dazed, regarding the room full of students.
Yes, I am. We'll just go, then."
He began to gather up his books and notes. Joel sank down onto the stone steps. In his hand, he held the letter he had written to give to Fitch.
"Professor,"
Nalazar said,
"your coat..."
Fitch looked down.
Yes, of course."
He undid the buttons on the long red coat, then pulled it off, leaving him in his white vest, shirt, and trousers. He looked diminished. Fitch held the coat for a moment, then laid it on the lecture desk. He gathered up his books and fled the chamber. The door to the ground floor entrance clicked shut softly behind him. Joel sat, stunned. A few of the members of the classroom clapped timidly, though most just watched, wide-eyed, obviously uncertain how to react.
"Now then," Alizar said, voice curt, "I will take over instruction of this class for the last few days of the term, and I will be teaching the summer elective course that Fitch had planned. I have heard reports of rather disgraceful performance among students at Armedius, your cohort in particular. I will allow no sloppiness in my class. You there, boy sitting on the steps."
Joel looked up.
"What are you doing there?"
Nalazar demanded.
"Why aren't you wearing your uniform?"
"I'm not arithmetist, sir,"
Joel said, standing.
"I'm from the general school."
"What? Why in the name of the heavens are you sitting in my classroom?"
"Your classroom? This was Fitch's classroom. Or it should be."
"Well?"
Nalazar asked.
"I came with a note, sir," Joel said. "For Professor Fitch."
"Hand it over, then,"
Nalazar said.
"It is for Professor Fitch personally,"
Joel said, stuffing the letter into his pocket.
"It wasn't about the class."
"Well, be off with you, then,"
Nalazar said, dismissing Joel with a wave of his hand. The red chalk dust scattered on the floor looked like blood. He began dispelling his creations one at a time. Joel backed away, then rushed up the steps and opened the door. People crossed the lawn outside, many dressed in the white and gray of arithmetists. One figure stood out. Joel dashed down the stairs across the springy lawn, catching up to Professor Fitch. The man trudged with slumped shoulders, the large bundle of books and notes collected in his arms.
"Professor," Joel said.
Joel was tall for his age, a few inches taller even than Fitch. The elder man turned with a start.
What? Are you all right?"
Why, it's the chalkmaker's son. How are you, lad? Shouldn't you be in class?"
"It's my free period,"
Joel said, reaching and sliding two of the books off the stack to help carry them.
"Professor, are you all right? About what just happened?"
"You saw that, did you?"
Professor Fitch's face fell.
"Is there anything you can do?"
Joel asked.
"You can't let him take your classes away. Perhaps if you spoke to Principal York?"
"No, no," Fitch said. "That would be unseemly. The right of challenge is a very honorable tradition, an important part of arithmetic culture, I must say."
Joel sighed. He glanced down, remembering the note in his pocket. A request from him to Fitch. He wanted to study with the man over the summer, to learn as much about arithmetics as he could. But Fitch wasn't a full professor any longer. Would that matter? Joel wasn't even certain the man would take a non-arithmetic student. If Fitch wasn't a full professor, might he have more time for tutoring students? Thinking that immediately made Joel feel guilty. He almost pulled the letter out and gave it to the man. The defeat in Fitch's face stopped him. Perhaps this wasn't the best time.
"I should have seen this coming," Fitch said. "That Nalazar. Too ambitious for his own good, I thought, when we hired him last week. There hasn't been a challenge at Armedius for decades."
"What will you do?"
Joel asked.
"Well,"
Fitch said as they walked along the path, passing under the shade of a wide-limbed red oak.
"Yes, well, tradition states that I take Nalazar's place. He was hired on as a tutoring professor to help remedial students who failed classes this year. I guess that is my job now. I should think I'll be happy to be away from the classroom to have some peace of mind."
He hesitated, turning to look back toward the arithmetic lecture hall. The structure was block-shaped, yet somehow still artistic, with its diamond patterns of gray bricks forming the vine-covered wall.
"Yes,"
Fitch said.
"I will probably never have to teach in that classroom again."
He choked off that last part.
"Excuse me."
He ducked his head and rushed away. Joel raised a hand, but let him go, still holding two of the professor's books. Finally, Joel sighed,
turning his own course across the lawn toward the office building. "Well," he said softly, thinking again of the crumpled paper in his trouser pocket, "that was a disaster."